Agenda item number four. Possible discussion on Texas Water Development Board presentation by Beck Braun. Texas Water Development Board.
Director Johnson at our last meeting said that she would like to see how we here and at BRA and in Brazos G interface with the rest of the state and how it how water planning in one area impacts the other. We have some situations where everybody that comes to the Brazos G has to be in the water plan before they can be approved. In some areas, that's not quite the way, and there's ways to kind of get around that. The legislature has given the Water Development Board new guidance, new board, and here to explain that to not only to Carolyn, but to everybody else, how the Texas Water Development Board is handling the water planning and the water future of the state of Texas. It's good to welcome back to the BRA, Beck Broom.
Good morning. Sorry, thank you. Habit. It's good to be back. As mentioned, I'm Beck Bruin. It's good to see many of you again. It's been a few years, not quite that long for some others. I've gotten to see in the Capitol or elsewhere. I appreciate the opportunity to come and talk a little bit about the Texas Water Development Board, our financing programs, a quick update on the SWIFT, which certainly gets all the attention in the news these days when it comes to what we have going on, but just as importantly, our role in the state water plan. I've been a board member since September of 2013, appointed by Governor Perry. Y'all might recall I happened to work here from 2010 to 2012 as your government and customer relations manager. Very proud of the fact that I can call myself a BRA alum when I travel around the state now and hold myself out in my current role, either there or there in the state house. You know, I feel like having worked here, especially over the course of 2011, gave me a little bit of a unique perspective into how we as an agency can do our job now. And of course, a big part of that is looking 50 years out and trying to make sure that we as a state have the water that we're going to need to keep up with all the demands, whether it comes from municipal, industrial, ag. We'll get into that here in just a moment. But I do travel around quite a bit and talk about 2011 and my experience here. And I use Brad Brunette's slide. I know y'all have seen it. It's the graph that shows, I refer to it as the 2011 was off the charts slide, that shows the plot of the year 2011 with going back 100 years and just how significant that 1 year was into really and what we experienced and what led the legislature to later pass House Bill 4 that changed my agency, that created a full-time board of which I now serve on as one of three, that provided for Proposition 6 to go on a statewide ballot, that passed overwhelmingly statewide, that moved $2 billion into a new fund that we refer to as the SWIFT, and also now for the first time required that we as an agency actually prioritize projects in the state water plan for those that would like to utilize the financial assistance in the SWIFT. So I talk a lot about 2011, the off-the-charts year, October of 2011, when we had to visit with the customers down in Round Rock and Georgetown and Chisholm Sud and explain to them that at that moment in time, because of an interruption in a pipeline, as you all remember, they had, if they were going to continue to pull water out of the lake at the rate that they were using at that time, that they had about 30 days worth of water supply. You know, there was a lot that was being written about across the state about that time. Robert Lee was written about, I believe, in the Wall Street Journal about how they were running out of water, a small town out in West Texas. But we observed here situations where large cities, Williamson County, one of the fastest growing counties, not just in the state, but fastest growing areas in the country, were at a moment in time where they really realistically could have been out of water in a short period of time. Again, all that led to the changes that the legislature pushed forward with House Bill 4, and that's a big part of what what we do and what we think about as a board when we are trying to advocate for what we do in the way of financing new water supply, financing upgrades in existing infrastructure, as well as planning for the future. Part of my job is to travel around and frankly, advocate and sell our programs, because we're going to talk about the SWIFT, but separately, we have $6 billion in bonding authority that's available for us to finance new water supply projects. We have federal programs that we refer to as our state revolving fund programs that receive grant money from the federal government every year that we are able to turn around and use to subsidize loans for upgrading existing facilities in the way of water and wastewater treatment. I'm glad to see the City of Granbury here, Mr. McKeithen, for the first time in a while, I believe. The Granbury is going to be working with the Water Development Board on some financing for a new waste or water treatment plant. And the benefit of that, as an example, is that for these particular programs, Granbury will be able to realize significant savings in the financing based on the subsidy that we can provide that's applied to the City of Granbury's credit. It'll be somewhere between 120 to 150 basis points off the interest rate. So it's very good low interest loans, financial assistance that we've for every Granbury I get a chance to work with or talk to, I go visit with another city or entity that met for whatever reason has decided that they would not like to go to the Water Development Board for financial assistance. Maybe they had a negative experience in the past. Just last week I made an I-35 trip up to Dallas, and I stopped in Georgetown and Temple, in West and Waxahachie and Hillsboro. All those cities, or four or five of those cities, had not utilized our program since the early 90s. And so they were very interested to hear about the changes that we have made, that the legislature has directed us to make our agency operate more efficiently. But really the main thing I wanted to cover today is our role as the state's water planner. So the Water Development Board as an agency has been in place since 1957. We have always been basically a water infrastructure bank, and over the course of our history, we have provided upwards of $15 billion in financial assistance to date. But separately, since 1997, since the passage of Senate Bill 1 by the legislature, the Water Development Board has overseen the development of our state water plan. We have put this plan together in the way we do it now, again, since 1997, and we refer to it as a bottoms-up approach. So really, where the bulk of the work is done, where the plan really gets put together, is at the regional level through one of 16 regional water planning groups. And where we are now, we fall into the Brazos G area. The Brazos River Authority actually is the administrator for Brazos G. I'll touch on that here in just a second. But when Senate Bill 1 passed, it established these 16 different regions and stated that each of these statutory interests were to be represented on each of those 16 regional water planning groups. So you'll have members that serve as a representative of the public, counties, municipalities, all these listed here. The City of Granbury, actually Alva Cox, the city's utility director, is a municipal representative, for example, on the Region G. But again, 16 regions that cover the state. In total, that makes up about 450 members that serve in total all these groups. Each group, from their inception, they had selected a host political subdivision, and this can be revisited every planning cycle. This plan is developed again on a 5-year planning cycle. The first one was after 1997. The first one was in 2002. So every 5 years since then, we've gone through this process to develop a state water plan. The most current version of the plan, as noted on the first slide, is the 2012 state water plan. And those 16 regions are currently working on developing the next state water plan, which will be the 2017 state water plan. This provides, I use this as a prop, frankly. When I travel around the state, I carry it with me. You'd be surprised at the number of people that really just did not have any idea to begin with that there is a state water plan. We talk a lot about drought. We talk a lot about the number of people that are moving into the state and things that we need to do as an agency to develop new water supplies. That is the, if there is an answer to how we take care of our citizens and our basic needs, but still allow enough water for us to continue to grow and to enjoy our lakes and estuaries and rivers in the ways that we have in the past, it's the plan. And it's not just putting the plan together, but it's implementing the plan and developing new water strategies. And that's really what the exercise is all about. So these, and this is, again, what we refer to as a bottoms-up approach. It begins with these 16 regional water planning groups. They each have the political subdivision I mentioned. They're self-governed by their own bylaws. These are public meetings. They have to have public notice so that they can be attended by members of the general public that would be interested in participating in any way. Those groups, they are provided money by the state to be able to hire technical consultants that go through, and this is a very simple way of describing really the process that those consultants lead them through. Yeah, every 5 years we go through and put together a new plan. The plan is tasked with looking 50 years out to determine where the strategies are going to come from. What projects are we going to develop in the way of new water supply to make sure that we can keep up with our needs? The Texas Water Development Board produces the data every 5 years. That's the starting point, that are those demand projections. And we look, again, 50 years out, and we project based on population growth and usage data, the amount of water that in theory will be needed to keep up with those projected demands, covering all the different sectors of water user groups, which I'll touch on here in a second. So what happens before that is the consultant goes through and does an inventory of what we believe we have today. So maybe there's been a change in the water availability model from a lake, for example, that we know is already in the system and accounted for. You get a baseline for this is how much water we have today. Then we take the water board's projections that show here's how much we're going to need based on the demand projections. And as a group, with the assistance of the technical consultant, the group goes through and identifies whether or not there's a surplus or a need in all the different sectors of water user groups. If there is a need, it is up to those regional water planning groups to identify new water supply projects that are going to make up the difference to keep there from being that shortfall. Here's an example of the different types of water user groups that those regional water planning groups look at when they go through this exercise. Of course, cities, utilities, county, other could be any water user group that does not fall into one of these other categories. But of course, as you would expect, manufacturing, mining would be oil and would encompass oil and gas as well, livestock, irrigation. Looking at the 2012 State Water Plan, this is the executive summary, and all this information is available on the Texas Water Development Board's website. I mentioned when we talk about the work that's done at the regional level, Region G, for example, in my office I have a big file cabinet that has all of the regional water plans that were completed that then rolled into the 2012 State Water Plan. The schedule for how the regional groups put together their plan, where they are in time right now, for example, on the development of the next state water plan, is that May 1st, here just next week, is a deadline for the first draft, what we call the initially prepared plan, from all those 16 regional water planning groups for what will be their the regional plans we date is 2016. They finished them a year before we at the board rolled them into the 2017 state water plan. So we're expecting the first draft from those regions of the next water plan here coming up in about a week, and then we'll have the final version by the end of the year. We expect to compilate and have the 2017 plan complete sometime, hopefully by the end of next summer. But when we talk about the 2012, again, the most current complete version of the state water plan, we talk about 2012, and this is from the executive summary, just some highlight numbers I wanted to touch on. We talk a lot about how our population is projected to nearly double over the course of the next 50 years, 82% by 2060. When we're talking about Region G, the plan shows a projected 76% population increase between now and the year 2060. Of course, existing water supplies will decrease by 10%. If we were to do nothing and just lived off of what we have now, or what the plan identifies as current inventory now, we know that in 50 years we would have an 8.3 million acre feet deficit in water. So the strategies that are in the 2012 state water plan recommend an additional 9 million acre feet. Of course, that is enough to make up what we project we would need between now and 2060, and then some. Again, that looks out to the year 2060. We talk about where the water is going to come from. We generalize and break down the plan into three different areas. That is, if we're talking about the specific strategies and projects in this current state water plan, about a third of them, the strategies we identify as coming from conservation and reuse. About a third from, we talk about as other surface water. This could be developing new transmission and being able to move existing surface water supplies around more efficiently. But then another third coming from new supply development. That could be anything from new reservoirs, new groundwater fields, desalination into both seawater and brackish desalination. There is seawater desal strategies in the current state water plan. But that we show that as coming from a third as well. Of course, this all certainly does come at a cost. When the legislature was reviewing and debating House Bill 4 and how much money to move from the Rainy Day Fund into the new fund that we now call SWIFT, they were targeted on trying to accomplish the $26.9 billion in red. That is money that the plan identifies as needing to come ideally from either state loan or grant program. So if you were to take all of the strategies and projects in the state water plan and say, how much is it going to cost to make sure we have enough water to meet our demands 50 years out, it's really $53 billion. We're talking just about new water supply. House Bill 4, again, the $2 billion in SWIFT, we are tasked with managing in a way that will allow us to leverage the $2 billion over 50 years to extend and accommodate that $26.9 billion number. And I can talk about that in a little more detail here in just a minute as to exactly how we do that. If we wanted to take a little step higher, of course, it's not just about new water supply, but it's also about wastewater treatment. It's about water treatment, flood control. There's a lot of other needs that our water user groups that they have and that are going to need to be taken care of. That number is much more staggering. It's $231 billion. So this is why we not only talk a lot about the SWIFT and the benefit the SWIFT will be in developing new water supplies, but we talk about our state revolving funds, and that's why we go talk to Granberry about the benefit that can come from those programs, because whether it's water treatment, wastewater treatment, those needs are there, and we're going to have to address them for decades to come. And we also talk about the cost of doing nothing. These are the scary numbers: $12 billion in annual lost income, $1 billion in lost sales taxes. This is taking the economic impact view at a state level as to what would happen if we did not have the water supplies that we need to take care of ourselves. Again, looking out on a 50-year planning horizon. So I want to shift real quickly to the SWIFT, and we can certainly come back, and I'll be happy to entertain questions here at the end, or please interrupt me at any time if we want to go into more detail about the plan and how it's put together. But I want to touch on SWIFT because layering this part of the $2 billion and having that there as part of this process provides an accountability to the planning process that had not been there before. For the first time, the legislature put in place a funding mechanism that was dedicated to helping develop these projects in the state water plan. Previously, some would say, well, planning is great, but this document right here is it's more of a paper exercise with theoreticals. Well, now we actually have a fund that's dedicated specifically to support projects in this plan, and that's why I say it adds an accountability factor. The $2 billion, again, passed through the passage of Proposition 6, the $2 billion moved from our rainy day fund into what we now call SWIFT, the State Water Implementation Fund for Texas. It is in the fund. It's being invested by the Texas Safekeeping Trust, and it is a tool that we have at the Water Development Board to help finance projects in the State Water Plan. An applicant must be a political subdivision or a nonprofit water supply corporation to be eligible for funding through SWIFT. The project has to be in the plan, which means it has to have an associated capital cost, which is important to note. The legislature also said, when we go through, yes, the projects have to be in the state water plan, but we are also tasked with having 20% of the money go towards supporting water conservation and reuse projects, and no less than 10% to support ag and rural entities. So again, how do we turn $2 billion into covering the $27 billion in need that I had pointed out before? Well, the $2 billion is, I talk about $6 billion that we have in bonding authority, our ability to go out, sell bonds, and then turn around and loan those proceeds at low interest rates. This $2 billion in the SWIFT fund is cash. And the way that we are set up is that we are allowed to withdraw cash no more than 2 times per year, and then take the cash and apply it towards loans in a way that offers these different kinds of subsidies, whether it's buying down an interest rate for a low interest loan or deferring principal and interest, or being able to structure what we call board participation. Some of you might recall or have been here back when there was a state participation loan made to both the BRA and City of Houston to purchase the property that is now Allen's Creek, or will be Allen's Creek. So the same type of model, and again, we can make the withdrawal up to twice per year. We're in the process right now, and I'll show you a map. We went out and we had to go through and promulgate rules at the agency last year that spoke to the prioritization criteria and process as to how exactly this is going to work when entities come in and apply for this financial assistance. And we've gone through the first round of receiving applications. Our staff right now is scoring those applications and putting the prioritization going through that process. But when we went out and solicited applications, we advertised that we felt like we could provide $800 million in financial assistance the first year and do that every year for the first 10 years. That's based on advice of our outside financial advisors and finance staff. To be able to offer $800 million, for example, in financial assistance, that means a withdrawal from the SWIFT of roughly $150 million. So again, that's the $2 billion in cash. If we take $150 out, for example, our FAs are telling us we can use that $150 to apply a subsidy in a way that will support $800 million in loans that year. And again, we'll do this on a rolling cycle. So the type of when we talk about low interest loans, we're talking about subsidy applied to the Texas Water Development Board's cost of funds, which we are AAA rated, which of course is will provide the lowest interest possible. But we're talking about being able to subsidize that even down another 35.5%, and these loans can go out to 30 years. Applicants can also request a deferred loan. We can defer principal and interest payments for up to 8 years or until construction begins, whichever occurs first. And then lastly, I mentioned board participation is what we used to call state participation that allows the board to purchase temporary ownership in the project, and then the applicant is able to effectively buy that back over a long term. Again, the Allen's Creek model. For us to be able to purchase that ownership, there has to be an identified excess capacity. So usually we're talking about a large project like a reservoir project that will take some time to come online. I mentioned the fact that we solicited the first round of applications. This is a map that shows where they all came from. It, of course, as you can see, it's a pretty good spread. So going back a little bit, again, these are projects. These are either political subdivisions or, in theory, nonprofit water supply corporations. I'd say all these pretty much are political subdivision. They could be a city. They could be a river authority, a water district, that have projects that are in the state water plan that came in and applied for SWIFT financing or financial assistance through the SWIFT in the first round of funding. I mentioned prioritization. House Bill 4 provided for this as well. For the first time, not only do we have money dedicated to projects in the plan, but before we can make those loans, our agency and our staff have to go through and prioritize the projects based on the applications we receive and actually perform a scoring. I mentioned last year we put the rules in place. A big part of that was going through and setting up this prioritization. And this is based on very specific criteria, really 11 different pieces of criteria that were spelled out in House Bill 4 that were given to us by the legislature. And as you can see, there is highest consideration given to these four different pieces of criteria that could be projects that serve a large population, that assist a diverse and urban and rural population, that provide regionalization, and that meet a high percentage of water supply needs. What catches most people's attention on that is the large population reference. And it's important to note that the legislation says that to receive highest consideration, the project does not have to be all four of these things. It can be any one of these things. Now, that last, the one on the bottom there, a project that meets a high percentage of water supply needs, that could accommodate, for example, let's say a small West Texas town that needs to develop a new well field, and by bringing that online, it will serve all that little town's needs. Well, then they are able to get the 30 points through that criteria, just as a City of Houston Loose Bayou project or large regional project, for example, would get. Yes, sir.
How is this prioritization established?
House Bill 4 gave us criteria. The legislature passed House Bill 4, and it said that we at the Water Development Board were to go put in place rules that accounted for the 11 different pieces of criteria. So we went through a formal rulemaking process last year at the agency where we, based on what the legislature gave us, we went around the state, solicited public comment, et cetera.
So the legislature mandated that you do it, but the staff actually did it.
Through formal rulemaking. And this is just a snapshot of what that criteria looks like. So where we are in time with being able to actually put money on the streets, so to speak, through the SWIFT, I mentioned that we went out, we solicited applications, we got about... after a few dropped out for having projects that were not in the state water plan, I believe we ended up with 48 applications that totaled $5.5 billion in requests. I mentioned that we were suggesting or offering that we were trying to do $800 million the first year, and we got $5.5 billion in applications for the $800 million. We expect staff to come back to the board at our May 6th board meeting with the first prioritization list. That is the first result of prioritizing the 48 applications that came in. And based on their recommendations and then the board's decision, we would invite what we call the complete application. It was an abridged application or a short version that we were requesting to begin with, to begin the process and get those applications in and be able to prioritize. So then separately, it's a two-step process. We go out and invite a full application. We'll have those results back late summer, and we expect to be selling bonds for the first time through the SWIFT program and being able to get that money out the door sometime in the fall of this year. And again, we can make a withdrawal from SWIFT no more than twice per year, and we'll be doing this on a rolling cycle. The goal, as I mentioned right now, has been trying to steer it between the lines in a way that can provide $800 million in financial assistance for the first 10 years. Each year it could be a little more, it could be a little less, based on the applications that come in and how they score. But that's a snapshot as to how SWIFT specifically is going to work. Yes, sir?
Are the bonds revenue bonds, or are they backed by the state treasury?
The revenue bonds. So these The SWIFT program and the loans that are made through this program do not affect the state's constitutional debt limit.
Okay, thank you.
They are supported by the applicant. Yes, sir.
Looking towards 2060, do you reference that a time or two? With a great deal more water than we currently have control over, are you actually talking about new water? You're talking about new reservoirs primarily? I mean, you can dig a few wells here and there, but to get to where you're talking about lots of new reservoirs, are you not?
Well, we're talking about lots of different types of water supply strategies. It includes new reservoirs, but that, for example...
What else can provide a lot of water other than reservoirs?
Well, if we're talking about the water strategies, for example, in this plan... These are all that we're talking about new water supply, and this plan has 16.7% allotted to the construction of new reservoirs. 33.9% is the other surface water reference that could be existing water supply that is in that's permitted as such in a reservoir, for example, but that we need additional transmission to be able to move it around. But some other numbers: irrigation conservation, ag conservation, is a big water supply strategy, especially for the Panhandle and Region O. That's actually their number one source for where their new water is going to come from over the course of the next 50 years is through more efficient ag conservation measures. There is a lot of attention that's being placed, especially of late, on desalination, whether it's seawater desal or brackish desal. If we're talking about the 2012 plan, those numbers, generally speaking, are very low as a total piece of the pie. It's less than 3% in total. But I do suspect, and we're getting close to, again, seeing the first draft of the next plan, that based on drought, based on lots of other factors, you're going to see what we've talked about and described more as alternative water supply strategies that really are now what I would refer to as proven strategies, becoming much more, those numbers are going to go up in the next plan. But it can come from conservation, groundwater, surface water through new reservoirs, aquifer storage and recovery, et cetera.
One of the things you mentioned was distribution of current water to areas of need. That's not really new water. I mean, it's new to the receiving community, but it's not
sure.
New water in the state. So we're not counting that when we're talking about new water, are you?
Well, we're talking about, I would say it's new in the sense that it is being utilized for as water supply. It may be that there are several strategies in the plan, for example.
That's just redefining it, in other words.
Well, there's no such thing as new water, generally speaking.
But that's a shell game.
Well, we're talking about, let's say there's water out in a reservoir in East Texas that an entity has the adjudicated water right to, but it's not under contract to the city of Dallas or to an entity somewhere else that would like to purchase it and be able to utilize it and have it be water supply. That's generally an example of what we're talking about when we talk about that third in the plan. Any other questions? My contact information is here. Y'all are, anybody in the room is welcome to call me directly at any time. Director, did you have a question, ma'am?
I just want to thank you for giving some of this information. I think my question was about, there's a whole lot of strategies that are in the different regions. I wanted the folks on our board to know that we had 16 regions. Also that we are counting on a lot of conservation that includes industrial conservation, as well as new water like the Allen Creek that's already in the state plan. The fact that we need to have all of the projects in the state plan or we can't get funding. And I'm especially glad to hear about how you plan to use $2 billion to come up with $53 billion.
Well, $27 billion.
Just because I think that it's really good, and I know that TWDB will help decide how to distribute that money, and then it'll be up to some entities to come along and come up with projects and then get assistance from you in providing funding for those projects. So it was really just to give them an idea that, you know, we aren't just sitting here waiting on 2060 to get here. There's a lot going on in the state, and it has a lot of rules involved. And he told you about a lot of rules that you heard today on how you're going to use all of that to get to where we need to be. But we need to be sure that we're being very watchful and making sure that we get the money and we support the state and doing things like giving us $2 billion out of the rainy day fund. I hope we decide to do that again, because there's a whole lot more need than what $2 billion can do for us. So I thank you again for giving us that information.
The new plan will have a new price tag, and it very well might be greater than the $27 billion. I talk a lot about Allen's Creek, for example, with any captive audience or member of the legislature that I can in the Capitol. Because I think it's a project that's a model of how we can develop new water supply downstream in areas that get much more rain, for example. I'm sure Allen's Creek, if it were built right now, would probably be full. You'd fill it up five times, I assume, in the last not very long since last year. The Lower Colorado River Authority is moving forward with an off-channel reservoir project that they're financing through the Water Development Board that'll be constructed in a few years. It's the same idea. Of course, the interest up in the Highland Lakes that are concerned about their lake levels were very supportive of the LCRA building a reservoir in the lower basin that could be tapped first, for example, before they had to start releasing water for downstream interest. And that, I view Allen's Creek very much the same. So the work that y'all are doing and pushing forward, I know it's that the relationship with your partner in that project is what makes it a little unique. But I want y'all to know you've got you have a friend in me that's pushing for it, because it's a project in the state water plan, and from my seat, I need to be advancing projects that are going to develop the new water supplies that we need to take care of all of our needs, again, looking down the road. So, yes, sir?
Beck, I want to also thank you for coming. I know you're very busy. It's good to have somebody here from the Texas Water Development Board and your support, and I'm glad to hear you talk about Allen's Creek, because I think Allen's Creek would be the sooner we get that reservoir going, the better it'll be for the whole basin.
Yes, sir.
Particularly upper basin.
You bet.
Reservoirs as well. So, but thank you for coming back and spending some time with us today. We appreciate your support.
Again, as I said, I'm available to any of y'all anytime, and thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Beck. agenda item number five. Huh? Okay. That sounds good. You want to take a 10-minute break?
I hope not.
Your read will go into close, but we're going to do close and have lunch at the same time.
Okay. Okay. All right. Sounds good.
So, yeah. Introduce back.
Matt